Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dirt and Sprague continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her under the
bus. On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. You can always count on Sundays at the NFL and CBS and Paramount+. Stream the local NFL game live every Sunday. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. We will kick off the second hour with Oregon JMU talk.
Let's do it. Bad news, Dirt.
What's the bad news?
I mean, my team sucks now. Your season's over.
You got outscored in the second half, 28-17. Yeah. You got dominated, some would say.
Fumble all lasted, man. Hell of a run. First playoff game, it comes to an end. Great run. Can't wait for next year.
Damn, had to play all the starters the whole game. Couldn't sit anybody.
Nope, didn't play any backups.
Nope,
none of them appeared on the field whatsoever.
Not at all.
An embarrassing performance all around.
I think your head coach agrees, actually.
I think he does, which is why it was the perfect possible game.
Jorgie will join us coming up at 7:30. He called the game, heard here on The Fan. And so we'll get his thoughts of what he saw. I do think we like to joke and have fun. Oregon won the game. I think there's a happy medium that Duck fan is probably living in. And if, like, you don't want to watch your team give up the points and the yards the way that they did to JMU, who did a lot of trickeration, but also Dante Moore like vibes of, yeah, our coach is kind of psychotic. We won the football game, and that's kind of all that matters.
I have found the reaction in the last 48 hours to be funny, to say the least. I wasn't very active on social media. I'm at the game. I get home. The game's kind of wrapping up. I'm getting settled in, figuring out everything that I missed. And I'm just perusing after the game is over of, like, what's everybody say? What's the vibe check on this Oregon game? And it was a mixture between everybody is an idiot or this is the worst thing that's ever happened to Oregon football. And it's like, oh, my God. Okay, that sounds like social media. That's where we're at. I have a 12-game sample size of a regular season on Oregon football, and now a 13th game in the playoffs. Would we all agree after 12 games, pretty good defensively?
Yeah.
12 games, if not every offense they played was a juggernaut. Are they the best defense in the country? No. Are they a top five defense in the country? I don't know. Probably not. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe in some stats they are. Mm-hmm. But they're good. They're good defensively, and it's going to give them a chance to win a lot of games. What happened in the second half on Saturday night has no bearing on the rest of your season in any way, shape, or form. That game was, I think Oregon went in with the thought process of, let's deliver a TKO in the second round. This thing is over. And essentially, what, a minute into, once the field goal was blocked and then Oregon scored a touchdown, not that anybody would have thought they were going to lose in the first place, but you block the field goal, you then score another drive in like 14 seconds, and it's 21-3. The game is, or 20-3. The game's over. The game's over at that point.
Yes.
So they landed the exact kill shot that they wanted to. Mm-hmm. They didn't do anything stupid early to let JMU stick around and like, hey, why is this only a 10-point game at halftime?
Impressive little first drive for JMU, though.
It was.
Went
dude, they
the
had
field.
They broke the long run, yep. The breakout run, and then their second drive, to their credit and your point, like they came out through the kitchen sink at you.
Yeah.
And you bit on a trick play, and mm-hmm. then they didn't score on that drive because you blocked the field goal. But offensively, they were giving you some fits early. And then after those first two drives for JMU's offense.
Yes.
You want to know what their drive chart was after that?
I know it, but I'd love for you to run it down.
So they went field goal and then the block field goal. Those are their opening two drives. Third drive of the game, 3 plays, -4 yards punt. Fourth drive of the game, 6 plays, 21 yards punt. 7 plays, 31 yards punt. Mm-hmm. Then they had the field goal at the end of the half because I don't know how that wasn't DPI on the interception. Maybe I missed that in real time and you guys were watching on TV closer than I was. The one where Benson fell down, mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of clearly DPI, but he falls down, you get the pick, they get the field goal at the end of the half. They then score the touchdown to open the second half. They went 3 and out and then faked a punt. The drive continues. Very next play, they score a touchdown. And then it was 3 plays, 2 yards punt, 3 plays, -3 yards punt, 3 plays, -9 yards punt, and then they scored the touchdown after the weird, random Dante Moore interception that he threw at the goal line that handed them a short field. So this idea that you were bad defensively, it wasn't perfect. There's a lot of things that you can nitpick and that you can clean up. The score was 34-6 at halftime. The game was over. I left the stadium. Hmm. Fans were having a great time. What happened in the second half of that game has no bearing on anything that will transpire in the games to come for Oregon.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is I do think there's probably a spot here where the coach, and I'll play a cut from Dan Lanning here in just a second, where he's really happy. He's got a lot to harp on with this team.
Yes, it was the perfect outcome for that.
He gets to scream at them. They have a lot of tape in the second half, whether it be backups or the starters mixed in, where they didn't play particularly clean. But to your point, there was never at any one point, and I watched this game from start to finish. I didn't turn it off even when I said
good
I would on
you.
Friday.
Good for you sticking around.
Well, I was like, you know, well,
whatever. Yeah,
I thought they had. Look, I'll say this. I kind of walked away thinking Chesney's not a bad little coach. Like James Madison
Dude,
had some good play calling.
Tip of the cap to James Madison for. I think Oregon thought if we deliver a kill shot, they're going to roll
they
over
never
and die.
Packed it
and
in.
They never rolled over. That's a once in a lifetime opportunity mm-hmm. for those players, for those coaches. They have no idea if they'll ever be. How many of those guys are even going on to play in the NFL, right? Their careers are coming to
well,
an end.
They're going to UCLA.
Some of them will be going to UCLA, but the point being, like, you will remember that game for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Oregon players will probably not remember that game for the rest of their lives because they're going to go play a bigger game the next one out. That's their Super Bowl, and credit to them for continuing to swing.
Alonzo Barrett had 273 for 2 touchdowns, and Newman ran for 17 carries, 110 yards.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the Newman reference is a Wayne Knight. That was the running back.
Yes.
Hello, Newman.
Tiny little guy. He was fun to watch warm up on the field. Like, he looked like he was. Dusty made the analogy before the game, and it ended up fitting when I saw him. He reminded me of Jaquiz Rodgers.
Oh,
like 5'7", just built like a brick house.
Dude, he was good.
His legs were huge, just a tiny tank.
Well, I'll say this too. Like, I think part of what you get is you don't want to have your team show any sort of vulnerability or weakness in a game like this against that opponent.
Yeah.
And so I think that person's going to exist where you did a little bit. Whether the
oh,
game
they for
was
sure in, did. I mean, the second half was horrible defense. There's no defending the way they played in the second
right,
half.
Right, and Tosh Lupoy was super pissed off about it as well.
Yeah.
Also, the game is well in hand. And so I think because of what the score was in Olane to miss, or Olane and
Olane? Olane would be a great name for a school.
I need a vacation.
Lane's gone now, but Olane would have been. Maybe if they would have renamed the school Olane, he would have stuck around.
You know, we had to cancel 2 vacations because we were launching on FM. We have worked every day since July, all right?
It's been a long run.
So Tulane Ole Miss score, I think people see that and go, oh, okay. And then the start of the game happens, and because of how the second half transpires, there's this, should we be worried about this? Here was Dan Lanning in the postgame on the second half of Ducks versus JMU.
You know, somewhat of a bittersweet game. I thought we played a really good first half in some ways. Gave up a couple explosive plays defensively in the second half. I don't think we played at all close to our standard. Credit to JMU for figuring some stuff out at halftime, and not credit to us for not being able to sustain and play the way we need to be able to play down the stretch. You know, I think our team realizes this is a growth moment for us and an opportunity to continue to improve and get better, but we're going to have to play better football to be able to reach our goals when it's all said and done. You know, there were some moments that really showed up. Obviously, special teams with the block kick, block punt. You know, there were some big plays there. But to not be able to come out and have the same success in the second half that we had in the first half is certainly disappointing. And I think our players will certainly learn from that.
So he wanted the final to be 51-6 and not 51-34, basically.
Yeah, I don't blame him at all. That's why I thought it was the perfect game. They didn't even play music in the postgame locker room. Malik Benson had a quote after the game, said, "This feels like more like a loss than it does a win,"
which is exactly
what you want.
I think that was kind of his message, right? With that cut we just played, that was his takeaway, as I'm going to treat this as if it was a loss because...
Yep, because what they did in the second half was horrible. I mean, it wasn't just...
Well, they were checked out. The game
they
is
They did
over.
Not... I mean, they had legitimately, there was a play defensively, one of the breakaway plays that James Madison run. They literally had a guy on their secondary lineup on the wrong side of the field. And nobody out there corrected it. Nobody out there was like, "Hey, dude, you got..." And they just had a wide open receiver running down the field because they just weren't lined up right.
Oregon's advancing to the Orange Bowl for the first time in program history now.
Never played in an Orange Bowl before.
They're taking on Texas Tech on New Year's Day. You'll catch all that coverage here on The Fan. You'll also catch Dirt, Souk, and Newman, I was told.
Yes, New Year's Eve.
Speaking of Newman.
You want to end the 2025 calendar. There's no better way to do it than that threesome right there.
That's going to be a interesting, fun show.
Yeah.
I'll be sure to tune into that one. What time are you
right on? 1 to 4 p.m. Right into the Georgia-Miami game, I think is the New Year's Eve game.
Let me check.
I believe you would be correct.
No, not Georgia-Miami.
Ohio State-Miami.
Okay, thank you. I knew Miami was in the game. Ohio State-Miami.
Okay.
Right into that game,
so
New Year's Eve.
That'll be a fun little New Year's Eve show as we end the calendar year, and then you'll have the Ducks here on The Fan with Dirt. Also on the pregame of that.
Yes.
Texas Tech and Oregon in or the Orange Bowl. I'm looking forward to that game. I actually think it's the most interesting from a matchup standpoint of the quarterfinal games.
Yeah, it's the closest point spread of the four games. It's only basically a pick-em, point and a half.
Is Oregon a favorite?
Oregon is a slight favorite.
Right now at Aylin A, it is a pick-em.
I bet some money came. It opened at 1.5, so money must have come in on Texas Tech in the last 24 hours.
And I think it's because of some of what you're talking about, right? Whether you are concerned or not concerned, we're going to have fans all over the spectrum on that, but... Mm-hmm. It's more of like what you saw when they weren't locked in.
Yeah.
Or your vulnerabilities. You cite that long run on the first drive. Like, that's when they're the most locked in.
Yeah.
It's the ability of, can Texas Tech expose what we saw? And then also, I don't disagree with your PI call, but the second interception.
Oh, I don't know what the hell that was. He just lobbed it. He didn't. That was a play. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get hit. Here you go. Boop.
That's kind of how it felt. Yeah.
It's like, just get me out of here.
And I think
threw it up.
People see
it's
the
horrible
Tech
throw
defense, and they're like, well, if you're not going to. And I thought he was really good, minus the two throws. One of them probably a penalty.
At least if it wasn't a penalty. I mean, Benson was on the ground when that ball was picked off, so it's one of those where he just fell.
The takeaway in the draft conversation is that if he plays well against Tech, all the pundits think he's gone.
I mean, this is also the funny thing to me of just, it's funny how the way people view football games and their takeaways of it, because we can all watch the same thing, right, and have
differing takeaways.
Eight different takeaways.
Yep.
And for some, the attention will be Dante throwing that pick in the second half. And that really was kind of the turning point in the game, if we're going to be honest, in terms of like it getting ugly. That game is 48-13 with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. You're on the 2-yard line. If you score a touchdown there, you're up 55-13 going into the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Instead, you throw a pick, they run it all the way back, and then they are on the 21-yard line and end up scoring a touchdown. I think it was on third and long, too. They just beat them on a wheel route, whatever it was. That ended up being kind of the inflection point of this thing could have been 70-13, but instead now all of a sudden it's 48-20 and you didn't score, and then you put the backup defense in the fourth quarter and they give up a long touchdown drive. I find it funny the things that people will focus on when Dante Moore, I think, started the game 8-for-8 with 3 touchdowns and like 180 yards.
Dude, they were averaging, the first 5 drives, they averaged 17 yards per play.
They went 4 plays, 68 yards, touchdown, 5 plays, 75 yards, touchdown, 3 plays, 78 yards, touchdown, 4 plays, 63 yards, touchdown, 5 plays, 80 yards, touchdown. That was their first 5 drives of the game. The longest in terms of duration of clock that it took them to score. This ended up being the other thing that bit their defense, is their offense just wasn't on the field.
It was too quick.
They went a minute and 38, 2 minutes and 37 seconds, a minute and 34, a minute and 18, and a minute and 45. Those were their first 5 drives. The longest drive they had of the game of their first 5 touchdowns was 2 minutes and 37 seconds. They were scoring every 5 plays, it felt like. Big shots, big runs, it didn't matter. Whatever they wanted to do was working. That's the kind of stuff that I focus on, because I think... Yeah, I was impressed, to be honest with you, with the fact that their mentality coming out was, and you could tell, I was down on the field before the game of like, oh, they're ready to go. They seemed locked in. Mm-hmm. They seemed intense and all of that. That was the only concern I had coming in. They have dealt with a conversation around this game for the last 2 weeks of James Madison doesn't belong in, which they didn't really, but it wasn't their fault that they were in. Oregon's going to kill them. That was the whole narrative around this game. And for them to come out that focused, I was impressed by it. But I think what you saw seep into the second half was, man, we got 2 weeks off. It's Christmas time. We're up 34-6 at halftime.
That game was never in
doubt.
You
just hit the checkout button, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, they're still playing, but we've checked out, and it's hard to – once you flip that switch off, you can't really flip it back on in the middle of a game.
Yeah, I mean, I get it from the coach angle. Like, that dude wants perfection at all times,
right? Of course he does.
It's
great. Now he can chew into his team for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know, and he's right here. But I also can't blame the players. Like, they were never going to stop you if you needed to score.
It was 34-6 at halftime. They were scoring every five plays.
And also, like, are you going to be up 51-6 on Texas Tech? Probably not. Like,
right.
I think from a
if
rational...
If that plays out, then great. I don't care how many touchdowns you give up in the second half if you're up by that
from
much.
From a rational standpoint, you're like, it's human nature. And I thought Dante actually was good. He was like, yeah, I mean, this is why we love our coach. He's psychotic, but we won the game.
Yeah, man.
And it was never really in doubt. Here was Dan Lanning on the Autzen crowd.
Yeah, our crowd was outstanding. They've been outstanding every time. You knew we could always count on those guys to show up and make it an unbelievable atmosphere. I think it's really special for our seniors to get to enjoy that, and proud for them.
Let's carry this over.
I love how pissed he was after that game.
Dude, he was really mad.
He was so
upset.
You
could see it in his face when he's in the press conference.
Go watch the Tosh Lapoy interview, too.
He was
just like, pissed. He would... staring off into the abyss, so angry.
Well, I want to carry that over because I get why from a coach angle they do that. But, like, where are fans at? Because you mentioned the crowd. The crowd at Autzen, super happy. They got to watch a blowout win, their first playoff game ever at Autzen Stadium. I think people watching on TV and then stuck around for the whole game are like, why aren't we perfect?
Yeah.
Because you know where football fan lives. It's constantly looking for the negatives to highlight. And now they got a good Texas Tech team on the schedule for the Orange Bowl.
They do.
Let's carry that over. How do you feel, Duck fan, about that Oregon performance against JMU? 503-864-6326. Back with that on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I saw this from Matt Leinart. He tweeted during either the Oregon game or the Tulane Ole Miss game, "This is bad for our sport." And somebody responded, "Competitive 4+ score college football playoff games." Georgia TCU 65-7, Oregon Florida State 59-20, Bama Michigan State 38-0, LSU Oklahoma 63-28, Clemson Ohio State 31-0, Bama Ohio State 52-24, Clemson Alabama 44-16, Penn State SMU 38-10, Clemson Notre Dame 33, and Ohio State Tennessee 42-17. We can talk about that later. Like, it's not that we're in any way surprised that was the result. It's just
no. I felt like my team was at the center of a larger debate this weekend, and I just wanted off the roller coaster. I want nothing to do with this. My team shouldn't have been involved in this, but they ended up being this argument for or against what the playoffs should look like, and all I'm worried about is what's going to happen on New Year's Day in Miami.
Like, is Notre Dame putting up a better fight than Tulane against Ole Miss? Absolutely. Also, couldn't beat Texas Tech. Or Texas A&M, and then couldn't beat Miami.
Right.
So what do you do with that?
The anger and vitriol at what happened this weekend was dumb because, one, we all knew it was going to happen, and two, it just pointed in the wrong direction. There shouldn't have been two Group of Six teams in the playoff. That's ridiculous. There should never be two Group of Six teams in the playoff. There should always be one. But the reason the JMU was in the playoff was because the ACC's stupid. Mm. Anybody angry? If you're mad that that Oregon-JMU game happened and that was one of the games you had to watch on Saturday evening, be mad at the ACC, because if Miami wins the ACC the way that they should have, Notre Dame's in the playoff, Tulane is on the road at Oregon, and you would have gotten a much better matchup, at least in Oxford, Mississippi. The Eugene game likely still would have been a blowout, but it's dumb that two were in, but it's not the Group of Six's fault. It's the ACC's fault for having their head up their ass.
We will talk with Jorgie coming up here at the bottom of the hour for the Daily Ticker today. I put up a poll question. Do the Oregon Ducks play up to your standard or expectation versus JMU?
Well, that's going to be an easy no. I mean, yeah, you gave up a lot of points and yards. That's not quite the standard. Doesn't mean you have to panic, but it wasn't the standard.
So I'm trying to think about, as a fan, how I'd feel, and I think I come back to a take I had when my team lost and the fan base was excited about it, and I ended up being right on this.
Well, moral victory?
Well, Oregon State at Ohio State a few years back, and Oregon State had like one long touchdown run.
Yeah.
And they lost by 40.
They scored like 30 points
but
in the game.
Because they scored 30 points.
I was there.
It's like 68 to 30 or something.
It was 70 to 31, I think. Yeah. And because of that final result, Beaver fan was trying to tell me how great everything was.
Hey, we got 31 on Ohio State in the shoe.
And I remember thinking, you got your ass whooped, and who cares? You lost by more points than you scored.
Buckeye fans were not... They were,
but
a lot of Dan
similar
Lannies
to Oregon fans.
That makes it a sickness.
What are we doing giving up 31 to them?
Okay,
is it
so
accusable?
You have to ask yourself as we get ready for a little bit of a. We're going to do a Texas Tech preview, preview today. Got them all
to.
Over the place.
Yeah,
because we have to. You have to ask yourself: do you think the second half Oregon team is the team that's going to go play against Texas Tech?
Nope.
No.
So, what about the first half Oregon defense? Are you worried about?
The
big plays, the run.
Yeah, I mean, you had the one chunk run on the opening drive, and then you had the trick play. Outside of that, JMU's offense really didn't do anything.
Can they get to Morton? I would worry about that a little bit. Like, I know how good the
can they get to him with four?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. Is can those four get to him and put pressure on? Because under pressure, he's going to be a different quarterback, obviously.
Yeah.
And they have good wideout options at Texas Tech. Are they going to be able to run the football? Like, all of this stuff was still going to be asked. Even if JMU scored 20 points or 10 points.
Oh, without a doubt. You give up 17 points, it's still going to get talked about.
The final result, my point is the final result, as ugly as Dan Lanning and the coaching staff think it is, or maybe you as fans think it is, the final result was never going to change what kind of things you asked out loud about the matchup.
No, not at all. The only concern I had coming out of the game, to be honest with you, was Jordan Davidson got banged up a little bit late. He was seen limping off the field, I think, at some point in the fourth quarter. He posted on social media yesterday, yes, Duck Sleuths found this, and he was not wearing a boot or anything. I think it was his birthday yesterday. So that was the good news. That was the only thing I was concerned about coming out of the game. I think, to your point, the second half performance has no bearing on what they will or won't do against Texas Tech. It's a different opponent. You're going to be more locked in. It's the Orange Bowl. Like, it just, the stakes are high. You know you have a chance going into the game to lose, and they had no chance going into the JMU game. There's not a world that exists that JMU beats Oregon at Autzen Stadium, and so you're just going to get a different performance all around. That game is fascinating, though, because I think the biggest question I have about Texas Tech, nobody doubts their talent. I heard from somebody down there this weekend of like they've already not looked ahead and fully scouted them, but they obviously knew that they were likely going to win this game, and Texas Tech's their opponent.
They
but
were
you gotta be
scouting
careful.
Each other. Right. I bet you half this week was JMU prep and Texas Tech prep.
The takeaway from a lot of people down there is, damn, that's a good front seven, and that's going to be an absolute challenge for us to be able to move the football on them. I think the main question I have about Texas Tech, just looking at them, is one, how much are they affected by the month off? Because we saw the teams with the first-round byes have rough first playoff games, so Oregon just had a warm-up game. They got a lot to be pissed off about. They got a lot to clean up. You know, Lanning's going to chew them out for the next 2 weeks. They'll be ready to go on New Year's Day. So how much of the layoff is affecting you? And then two, like and this Oregon did not have a murderer's row schedule this year. Penn State faltered. They lost the Indiana game. But outside of BYU, Texas Tech literally didn't play a team with a pulse all year. Their non-conference was nobody. Their best non-conference game might have been your school, to be honest with you. Like they just,
I think, record standpoint, that's incorrect.
The Big 12 was terrible this year, in my opinion. Utah wasn't
amazing.
Utah's fine, but Utah's not a world beater. BYU's a good team, but BYU's not at the level of a national championship contender from a talent composite standpoint. So it's not even close to debatable that this will be the best team that Texas Tech would have played all year. And I think you look at a lot of the strengths that they have. And I wonder how that looks against Oregon, a team that will have the ability to go toe-to-toe with you strength-wise on the offensive and defensive lines.
So are you surprised the fan, not the entire, I don't want to be unfair there, but like there's a portion of the fan base that's a little...
No, every fan base has their squirrely bunch, and I'm not calling people stupid for freaking out about it. I'm just telling you it doesn't matter. So people shouldn't be freaking out about it, but this is the way that fan bases act, man. There's a lot of people that anytime you get the smallest hint of something negative happening, you're going to run, you know, your hair's on fire and you panic and you scream. That's not my takeaway from the game. I think the truth can be somewhere in the middle. Defensively, they weren't perfect from the get-go. The opening drives are the ones that I focus on more than what happened in the second half, because I think they just mentally checked out at halftime. And you can be critical of that. You can be angry about that, and that's totally fair. My counterpoint would be I don't blame them at all for mentally checking out, because me as a fan, I mentally checked out at halftime because the game was over.
Let's go to the Daily Ticker. Jorgie was on the call of this one. What were his takeaways? What did he think of the second half? And how does he feel about the matchup against Texas Tech at the Orange Bowl? Jorgie joins the show. Daily Ticker next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come on.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa, the Cascadian Dark Ale that brings holiday cheer to your glass. Get on the naughty list with Bad Santa.
Yeah, today's Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. This year, give Santa what he wants. Forget the milk with his cookies. Pair it with Northwest's favorite festive beer, Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. PelicanBrewing.com, born at the beach. We have a lot to get to here in the program. We'll talk about the other college football playoff games. We haven't even gotten to Bama and Oklahoma. And
two great games this weekend.
Miami and A&M.
Yeah.
We'll do a little preview of the Texas Tech Orange Bowl, but also kind of a recap with our good friend Mike Jorgensen. Jorgie, as we all know him on the broadcast, one of our favorites. Jorgie, good morning. Thanks for hopping on. We always appreciate the time we can get you. When was the last time you ate cookies or had a glass of milk together?
Oh, gosh. I'll tell you what. I mean, milk and cookies is tough to pass up anytime, right? Yeah. Little ginger snaps or Christmas cookies or some of the frosted stuff they have up in the press box. They don't ever have any milk, though, up in the press box. That's the one thing I don't, you know, I love the cookies, but it's either Pepsi or coffee, and I have to sugar that thing up. So
now, are you a fundamentalist on milk? Are you a Jim Harbaugh whole milk, get that candy ass 2% away, or are you pretty open minded? Like, will you dip a cookie in almond milk, for example?
Come on,
yeah. Almond milk with a cookie? I mean, 2% maybe. I don't go whole milk. You know, it's funny. Grandpa grew up. My grandpa had a dairy farm in eastern Idaho. So when we would go over there from, you know, eastern Oregon, it was great just skimming that cream off the top of the milk and having it with whatever you wanted. But I don't do that anymore. I gotta keep this lean, mean machine moving. So kind of like candy.
Nowhere close to that. Jorgie is looking good, though. He was a psycho down there in shorts on Saturday.
That's
it was cold,
about
man.
Almond milk.
Look, he's Eastern Oregon tough. We're not going to bring up the time he brought an umbrella over to the pregame set, but that's okay. Everybody's forgotten about that. We've all moved on. Nobody needs to remember that story. Jorgie, let me ask you about this. So the game happens. It almost was the inverse of the game that I was expecting, and we talked about, because all the numbers pointed to JMU's strength being their defense. And then you get it was like a touchdown every three plays in the first half. It felt like anything Oregon wanted to do, they scored. And the weakness of JMU's team was their offense, and their offense really the entire game. I mean, they had some lulls there in the middle where they're three and outs, but, you know, the beginning, couple of chunk plays, the second half with the backup defense in, like, they moved the ball. It was kind of the inverse of the game that I was expecting, but a comfortable win nonetheless for Oregon. What were your big takeaways from Saturday night?
Yeah, you know, I think the feeling of a little bit of complacency there in the second half, and I've heard the coaches say that word, and I thought it really fit, is the frustrating thing about it. You know, it's one of those ones where you get out to a 34-6 lead at halftime, you feel like you can just step on the gas pedal and just jump it out to the 50s, just based on how easy things were in the first half offensively against a defense that was highly rated, but hadn't seen teams like Oregon, you know, consistently during the season. And it showed, as Oregon was just explosive in the first half. They averaged almost 15 yards a play, didn't run a ton of plays, scored on their first five times they had the ball. It just felt like it was going to be a blowout. And then all of a sudden, James Madison just kind of hung around. You know, they never got closer than the final score. But at the same time, it was one of those frustrating type of second halves where they just made play after play, made big plays too. Which is exactly what they needed, because if Oregon forces James Madison into 10, 15 play drives, you know, that they maybe get a couple of scores if they have to go all the way down, but they kept popping these 20, 30, 40 yard plays. and, you know, 99-yard drive to finish the game. I mean, it's just so, you know, it almost seemed like it played right into maybe what Coach Lanning and Tosh Lupoi and some of the guys want. And that is, you know, if it's too easy, you think you're going to just roll right into the Orange Bowl for the first time and against a Texas Tech team that's really salty, and just have it be the same way as the James Madison game. So, you know, I don't know if it was planned that way, but boy, the end of it kind of left a bad taste in your mouth, and you know, something to build off of, always something to be able to work off of.
Yeah, our Daily Ticker guest today is Mike Jorgensen. You can catch him on all the Oregon broadcasts. He gets ready to call the Orange Bowl in just a couple weeks, be it the first time the Ducks have been at the Orange Bowl, get to take on Texas Tech. Looking forward to the matchup. So you're subscribing to kind of what Lanning and Lupoi were talking about of keep the gas down, keep the foot on the throat type stuff, and that's fine. I would ask you then, what concerns you based on what you saw in the second half of Oregon going ahead against Texas Tech?
Well, I guess if nothing else, it's rolling into an Orange Bowl, getting outscored 28-17 in the second half. It's that piece of it right there. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people said, yeah, but isn't the goal just to win the game and move on? Yeah, and they won it in convincing fashion. And I think a majority of the, you know, national pundits out there that I was listening to on the way home from the stadium are, you know, were saying the same thing they said about the Tulane Mississippi game, you know, and the teams like Tulane and like James Madison shouldn't be in it. And it was a boring game and everybody shut it off at halftime. Well, we were there for the second half and it didn't feel real good. And so it's just, to me, it's one of those ones you don't want to roll into your next game with a bad taste in your mouth. And yet, that might be the motivator that Coach Lanning and Lupoi and everybody else uses to make sure that these guys are ultra focused when they go into that Orange Bowl game. And, you know, first appearance in the Orange Bowl, first for Texas Tech too. It's Texas Tech's first time in the playoffs. And it's going to be interesting to see how that game, playing that game in between the end of the season and the Orange Bowl, which Oregon was able to do this year and not last year, versus Texas Tech, who's had all that time off. You know, do they focus on making sure they knock the rust off? I think Oregon at least had a chance to get out, get a game in between instead of taking 30 days off, which just isn't natural in the middle of a football season or at the end of a football season.
Yeah, and we talked on Saturday, Jorgie, about their offense, Oregon's offense, and, you know, getting some of these guys back and how that really allows them to be you know, it gives you more options and things you could do in terms of personnel than they've had maybe in their time. I'm just curious to ask you, one, on the receivers who have carried the weight here in the last half of the year. I mean, Benson, what a game for him. McClellan, that touchdown catch in the back of the end zone when there should have been DPI. I think there was holding, but that was also DPI in my mind. Just unbelievable catch. What you saw from those guys, and then how, you know, it was such a small sample size. I think I saw Gary only played 8 or 9 snaps. DeCorian wasn't a ton either. We did see Evan Stewart go through warm-ups on the field, but then back out in street clothes during the game. What'd you make of that position, the way the guys are playing and staying hot, and then in the brief action that they did see, what you saw from the banged-up wide receivers?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the guys that have been hot stayed hot, and they just continue to be a key to the offensive success. You know, I think if you can get DeCorian Moore and get Gary Bryant up to, you know, up to speed with everybody else, that's great. But I also think it was one of those ones where they probably could have put him in a lot more. They probably could have targeted those guys a lot more, but they didn't need to. I mean, with Malik Benson just running past people, I would say somewhat busted coverages, but frankly, he just was so much more athletic and fast than the DBs for James Madison. They were easy throws for Dante Moore to be able to make. And then you get Jamari Johnson making the plays that he's making. And, you know, the one thing that I felt was missing wasn't necessarily the two wideouts, even though I think the more that they can contribute, and frankly, putting, you know, DeCorian Moore on the field, the first play he gets out there, he gets in, he dukes it out with the defensive back. The defensive back almost wanted to wake him up and say, hey, you know, welcome back to the game type of deal. And he'll get after it too. I mean, he's the type of guy who will get after it, but you're going to need those guys sooner or later. And frankly, when DeCorian Moore steps on the field, a lot of attention has to be paid to him, whether the ball is thrown at him, whether he's targeted or not. But Kenyon Sadiq, I think, is the guy in the upcoming games and in the upcoming game with Texas Tech, that's got to be a target for Oregon to be able to get the ball in his hands in more than just a wide receiver screen. And again, everybody else has filled in well. Malik Benson, I mean, what a player he has become in the second half of the season, whether it's the catch at Iowa, the punt return against USC, the catch against Washington, you know, two long touchdown passes in the game against James Madison. He has really shown up and really, frankly, has become the go-to guy.
Jorgie, is it? I watched this weekend on Sunday. We had Cincinnati go play Miami against the Dolphins, and it ended up being 45 points Cincinnati scored because they went from playing in 0 degrees at home last week against the Ravens to 80 degrees and sunny against the Dolphins. I'm curious, for Jorgie, who wears shorts everywhere and anywhere.
Oh, he's going to be living it up.
Do the shorts get shorter the hotter it gets? Like, are we talking about like boxer brief level shorts for you in Miami?
Not at my age, I can tell you that. it would be cool if I was like 25 years younger. I'd shorten them up a little bit just to get a laugh. But, you know, when you get north of 60, that's not what you want to be doing.
Long ball Mike, yeah, man. No. Long
Let's
ball
go,
Mike.
Baby. Are we looking forward to New Year's Eve in Miami? Is that a good bucket list one for
wait.
You?
Yeah. I can't wait to get down there. It's going to be great. And I think the team's really excited to play, get in some good weather, and fans are going to be excited to get down there. And so I really look forward to it. It's a great opportunity for this team against the Texas Tech team. It's really good, really, really good on defense. I mean, the common denominator now for these teams that are left in the playoffs for the most part is defense. Yeah. The teams that have tremendous defenses week in and week out, and Oregon didn't unfortunately show it in the second half this last week, but you know, all season long, they've been consistently good. Did one of the top defenses in the country along with Texas Tech. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that game plays out, because I think both teams are going to play at a really high level.
Now, we're looking forward to it, man. Oregon, Texas Tech should be a lot of fun at the Orange Bowl. Mike Jorgensen, you hear him on the broadcast. You hear him on that one for the Orange Bowl here on 105.1 FM, The Fan. Jorgie, it's great to get you on whenever we can. Great call this past weekend. Have a good call for the Orange Bowl. Happy holidays, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, guys. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Look forward to talking to you again. Thanks.
All right. There we go. Our great friend Mike Jorgensen on the Oregon Duck broadcast. Every game, you can hear it here on 105.1, The Fan.
He's going to be one of the first people you hear on The Fan in 2026, 9 a.m. on New Year's Day.
Mm.
Right out of the gate. Wake up. Don't be too hungover.
Today's Daily Taker, of course, brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. 5 coastal locations and their festive, spirited Bad Santa in stores near you. A lot more to get into. Let's talk about some of the other college football playoff games. I haven't gotten to any of them.
Let's do it.
Which one do you want to get to next? Miami, Texas A&M?
Let's start with Alabama, Indiana.
You want to start with Alabama?
The first one, okay. Friday night. What a game that was in Norman, Oklahoma.
That was a wild one. We'll get to that coming up next. 105.1, The Fan. I have a feeling this is going to roll over into the third hour of the program. We have a lot more to get into with the college football playoff. We'll do a little bit of a peekaboo with the matchups. We still have other NFL dealings to get to today.
Yes, we do.
I don't even know if we're going to have time to talk any Portland Trailblazer basketball today.
Shaedon Sharpe had maybe the dunk of the decade in the NBA, and Justin Herbert solidified his MVP candidacy.
I mean,
that's pretty damn good.
Hard to argue against that, especially since Stafford lost. But I think Drake May is going to win it if it's not Stafford.
Narratives win. Kyle Shanahan should be the coach of the year, but
It'll
he won't
Vrabel.
Be the coach of the year. And Herbert has done more with less than anybody, but it has to go to the pretty young thing.
Look at us being Americans, unhappy about dumb stuff.
Yes. Give my awards to the right people, damn it.
Give my guy the award. And we got our gift exchange coming. I'm going to dare say, Swag is going to have the gift of the day.
Okay, Swag's got the gift of the day?
Well, maybe. I think I'm in the running.
I felt like I did pretty good this year.
Really? Because you seemed not confident last Thursday or Friday.
I wasn't really confident until I went shopping yesterday.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm a last-second shopper. You know me. I had my ideas. I had my things cooked up, and then I discovered something, and I'm like, oh, that's better. Yeah. Then you're not getting a bottle of wine this year. I'm keeping the bottle of wine. I had bought Swag a bottle of wine, and then I saw something yesterday, and I was like, oh, that's better than a bottle of wine.
Mm.
I've got plenty of wine.
Yeah.
We're all good there.
Buying a bottle of booze is not a bad thing, but I feel like we've done it too many times as a show where I'm trying to think
creatively. Well, see, I've learned now to pay attention to the show throughout the year because I never know when the thing is going to happen.
I'm not
going
good at that.
To create the opportunity for a fantastic gift at the end of the year.
I'll say the exact retweet.
Okay.
Same thing. A same exact feel. So I'm looking forward to the gift exchange. Funny, though, Shaden didn't have to sit the whole fourth quarter. I thought he was ass.
He's playing really good in the month of December, man.
Interesting.
He's having a really good run right now.
But he's ass.
We have a nice little sample size in this month. There's nothing ass about Shaden Sharpe.
No,
right now.
His three-point percentage
is
getting
he's shooting
close.
Like 50-something percent in the month. And I know it's eight games or whatever it
doesn't
is.
Doesn't matter.
But still, like that's a chunk of games now where things are looking better.
And you get to say thank you to the 99-2000 team tonight.
Do you see who's in town?
Who?
So I saw it was Damon.
Yeah.
Bonzi.
Deadlift.
Bonzi is there.
Steve okay. Smith.
Okay.
Dunleavy, and I think that was it.
Oh.
We got the coach?
Yeah.
We couldn't get Sheed to come back?
I don't think so. Let me see if
Dude,
I can find
Sheed,
it again.
Do you think Sheed is afraid that we'd boo him, or is he
no,
like...
No, he's probably just got to...
Just doesn't want to do it?
Doesn't
is
care.
Is he coaching
He might be coaching
somewhere?
A high school, yeah. Remember, he was coaching a high school somewhere, yeah. Like North Carolina or something. You know what's funny is I watched last night NBA TV at like 8:30, replayed a 2001 Christmas game.
Okay.
Between our Blazers and the Lakers.
Hey, we used to be on Christmas Day. That used to be a thing for us.
Because Sean Kemp was on the court.
Oh.
And by the way, I know he was a little bigger than the Sonics. I think we kind of misremember how fat or not fat he was. He wasn't that fat.
He wasn't that fat when he was here.
He didn't look that bad.
I mean, he wasn't in good shape, but he wasn't later Sean Kemp quite yet.
This was clearly
he wasn't the Rain Man.
No.
No. Well, no. That was in his weird tweener stage of I'm no longer what I used to be, but I'm not quite as bad as I'm going to get in years to come.
Well, also this was clearly the end of Sabas because Shaq was doing things to Sabas and Sabas just looked like a man defeated physically. Yeah, like my knees hurt. I'm gonna get out of here.
I am tired. Give me vodka.
I don't want to play no more.
Vodka don't play no. With men bigger than me.
Not great. But Kobe's afro looked good. I'll tell you that much right now. That was a great afro, Kobe.
We're going to talk about how Jeremy Grant has Achilles soreness, too?
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay, you don't talk about that.
I mean, I didn't really want to talk Blazers here, but like now you've already, we've railroaded it to
the
clock.
Are we
going to
have another guy gone for like 2 months with Achilles?
I hope not.
Drew Holiday just
a guy you're hoping
like,
to trade, possibly at the trade
maybe,
deadline?
Maybe, potentially.
You think people are going to take that on?
The Bucks are going big game hunting, haven't you heard?
Oh, big game
the
hunting.
The Bucks are going
Grant.
Big game hunting. We traded two first-round picks for Jeremy Grant, didn't
oh,
we?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's just big game hunting.
Let's get some return on investment.
Nothing screams we're going to win the title like getting Jeremy Grant on a back.
Dude, that
contract.
Shane Sharp dunk, though, was sick. That was dope.
Over Russ?
That was awesome.
That was great. Well, we didn't get to it there. Let's carry it over. We'll get to the playoff games, and then we'll get to some more NFL dealings, and then we don't spray the line, right, on the show?
Not today, no, but we will spring
we'll
the line later
out.
In the week.
We'll tweet it out. Yeah.
You got text your picks. Get your picks in. You got till Friday.
And then we got our gift exchange.
Or you can do a Christmas Day game, but you got to get them before kick time.
Agree. So we'll get to all of that. Bama, Oklahoma. What a wild one that was. Let's start third hour with that. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.